Hi there, Greenhorns. This is Severin. This is Greenhorns Radio, brought to you once again by Heritage Radio Network, and now we're even syndicated on another, at least one, and I think two different channels. So the word is spreading about all this young farmer activity, and we're very happy about it. And I'm very happy to be joined today by Samuel Carlin up in Elk, California. Are you there?
I am. Hi, Severin. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. I'm actually not that far away from you. I'm in Golden Vineyard in Redwood Valley, California, and it's the middle of a grape harvest, and it's a glorious day.
It is here on the coast, too, just over the hills. Great.
Now let's talk about where you are in the world and what the climate is there and why you're, what are you doing there?
Well, I'm working on a small organic and biodynamic certified farm that's in quite the transition right now. The current farmer, Kermit, who's been farming here for the last generation, is looking to retire and move on and pass it on, hopefully, to me as a young farmer. And I'm trying to build off the momentum of young farmers across the country and in the local area here to be able to do so.
And will you mind describing that operation in brief and your history of the property?
Totally. I started here as an apprentice a couple years ago, not knowing a whole lot about agriculture. I was doing political advocacy in D.C. and around the country, mostly focused on energy policy, but kind of realized through that my passion was in food and food politics, and decided to leave the political bubble of Washington, D.C., and landed out here in California, where I got connected with this farm. And we are a 45-acre vegetable and flower-producing farm just on the coast of, or on the coast in Mendocino. And we provide food for three farmers markets, a grocery store, and a number of local restaurants at the moment, but are looking to expand into a CSA operation and additional farmers markets into the future with all the buzz around here with the support of the farmers markets and so forth.
Let's talk about your place in the region. Elk, California is kind of remote. Can you put that into perspective for us in terms of your distance to market and what the local community can absorb percentage-wise of your produce?
Totally, absolutely. It's definitely one of our greatest challenges out here. We are a community of about 400 families here in Elk, and we don't have our own farmers markets. We have some inn and some tourist activity where we're able to provide some food to the local, immediate local economy, but most of our food, we travel between an hour and an hour and a half away to farmers markets and other markets. But there's a great consciousness here around local food and sustainability, and there's ample markets for anything that we can produce. We have wonderful support from Harvest Market, a local grocer that will buy any excess or abundance food that we have at a fair price. So that security is wonderful for us and for other local producers in our area.
Man, that sounds really nice to hear you say that. I was having a conversation on the phone with a grocery store near me and asking them how many dozen eggs they could sell and how many I could produce and how many chickens I should order, and they were like, well, call us when you have too much. And I was like, hey, man, we're in this together.
Totally.
So it's really nice to hear you feel comfortable with your local market. That's a huge, support, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that is a result of one thing that's not quite so great around here is that the food producers are fairly limited, especially on the coast. So we're the largest food producer, and we certainly produce a lot of food, but we don't have a lot of competition. So part of the reason we have such ample market opportunities because while there are a lot of amazing people on the coast growing food, there's not the abundance that, you know, might not be best for our distribution networks, but would be wonderful for the communities around here.
So one question I have, just because of the name of the farm, Flowers by the Sea, suggests that you're growing flowers. Is it easier? It seems like a lot of people grow flowers in coastal areas. Is that because the more temperate region is better for the flowers?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a very forgiving climate for not just the flowers, but also the vegetables. While we do grow a lot of food, we are certainly known for our flowers. And Kermit Carter, the current owner, it's been a passion of his since he was a child, growing flowers with his father and having a business down in Malibu. Moving forward as a farm, I'm much more interested in the food side of things. I think the flowers are important for the aesthetics of the farm, and people certainly love them at the markets. But as far as us moving forward as a farm, I'm definitely more interested in increasing our food production.
Okay, explain that a little bit. Is that because people aren't willing to spend more on flowers than they would on flowers that are coming from Ecuador? Is that because in a down economy, people aren't buying recreational plant material as much? Well, that's not true. That people are buying plenty of pots. But flowers are a different kind of recreational plant.
Yeah. We have the market for flowers. It's an interesting question. We do good plant sales. We not only sell cut flowers, but we also have one of the most diverse supplies of salvia plants and a number of other potted flowers that we sell in individual containers. And in the spring and summer months, we do sell quite a large amount of the flowers. Personally, as moving forward as a farm and getting other young people in here working and providing education for the community, I'm just personally more interested in the edible side of farming and the sustenance that gives. And so it's not really that the market isn't there. It's more just we can only do so much on the land that we have, and I would prefer to dedicate most of that to food production or herb production.
And are you all alone in facing this production and the transition and the marketing and the business planning? Are you having to take all this on to your own shoulders, or is there more of you?
So that's been one of the most challenging things for me. I certainly have a lot of support in the community and from friends and family helping me here and there along the way, but as far as the everyday sort of operations and in research and communication, I'm certainly taking the brunt of that on myself. And so that is definitely making it more challenging. Also, you know, I've heard you talk about this a lot in articles and interviews and so forth. I'm certainly feeling the pressure of the high land value here being a challenge and prohibitive to sort of moving forward agriculturally. And I haven't had a whole lot of success cracking that nut with some of the more experienced people in the community that have tried to do easements or land trust buys or other transitions of property.
So the issue that you're facing right now is that the farmer wants to retire. He'd like for you to keep continuing on with the farm operation, but there's so much of his own equity tied up in the farm that he probably needs some of that equity to retire on. Is that the situation?
Exactly. And, he's not even looking to retire completely in life. It's just the physical nature of the agricultural production has taken its toll on his health. And he and his wife would still like to, you know, have a flower food nursery, but on a much more manageable scale. But like many farmers his age, his equity is what he has paid off on his land, and therefore, you know, needs to receive some of that in compensation as he transitions the farm.
You know, it's funny. I wish this pleasure, as I'm listening to you, I'm like, why don't we create some kind of, like, federal slush fund that pays out farmer retirement money and pays out a little, you know, young farmer Kickstarter fund? Wouldn't it be amazing if we had just, like, a big pot of money in the sky that would, you know, provide basically retirement to these farmers and almost, like, treat them like firemen or military service members who, you know, have veteran packages, like veteran farmer slush fund. Because it seems like it's just such a such a big issue with all these gray-haired farmers who are, many of them, the pioneers of organic agriculture, and they're all just coming to a point where, you know, their mind is willing, but the body has been doing this work for a long time, and it deserves a rest.
No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, as a country, we undervalue our farmers immensely, and there isn't the safety net for them that we provide for so many other industries and services. And we absolutely need to take stronger steps to provide a fallback and retirement plan for our nation's farmers.
Yeah, that gives me some good ideas. I'm going to have to work on that a little bit off air. Think about how to formalize that request to the powers that be. Well, let's talk about the shape of the farm that you would like to make, and what research you've done, and like what institutions you've talked to in trying to overcome, you know, this logistical hurdle that you're facing in continuing this farm. Like, how have you approached that, and just share with other farmers who may be facing, you know, a similar land tenure, you know, generation gap, what your process has been.
Absolutely. So originally, being more interested in community rather than ownership and education than profit, I was most inspired by the possibility of reducing the value of the land by putting it into some sort of conservation easement or land trust, but quickly learned that that wasn't necessarily going to be viable because Kermit, the owner, needed to be reimbursed for his debt beyond what the conservation would allow in a sale. So from moving forward from there, in wanting this to be a community farm, I've sort of kind of built a business plan styled more in a grant application form to present to the local community, and I've talked to a number of young professionals, older professionals of all different walks of life in our local community, asking for their advice and support and sort of reaching out to bring more hands and minds involved. And I've had, you know, limited success with that overall, but I've also just had an amazing experience in my interactions with different people. We have a wonderful coastal organization called the Know Your Food Forest out of Fort Bragg, which is a community food group that focuses on education. They run a number of programs in our high school, junior high, and larger community, and have a beautiful growing food garden that is expanding daily, weekly. Every time I pass through, it's just amazing how much more infrastructure they've kind of moved on. And one of their big goals as an organization, and they're still a fairly new organization as far as farming goes, because there's a reason that farms are multi-generational and take years and years to build up the infrastructure and means to sort of become what we think of as the American farm. But one of their big missions is to create a number of working farms in the area to provide a food security or sovereignty for our coast. And so I've been trying to work with them to find potential collaborations to the point where, you know, we could almost become a arm of the Know Your Food Forest and organize ourselves as a nonprofit in some sort of organizational capacity. So they've been a great resource and support for me moving forward. Another of other organizations is California FarmLink out of Sonoma County. Sonoma County is probably one of the most progressive counties in the whole country as far as protecting and providing for farmers in their rights. Most of that's come through easements and land trusts, which I've talked about isn't viable for our farm, but they also provide support, professional support in a number of other ways and have helped me think through some of my ideas over the past number of months.
I mean, Sunny, it's like I feel like a lot of the work that we've been doing with Greenhorns comes from me trying to provide evidence and proof to myself and my family and my kind of, I don't know, the society at large that farming is possible and that everyone who's doing it is awesome and that we're, you know, making really brave economic decisions with our lives that yield satisfying careers and can be sustainable and will lead to a more durable democracy and all this, you know, type of big talk. And having, as a result, to spend, you know, lots and lots of hours a week managing whole bunches of systems and new media communications and stuff, and, you know, basically running a nonprofit. And it's funny because it seems like a lot of other people who are facing issues in farming or farm transition or getting themselves trained up for a particular kind of farming, like horse farming or seed farming, they end up having to start nonprofits or, you know, organizations or educational programs or doing it as a PhD program or, you know, just getting really serious and institutional about our learning, because it is really quite a challenge.
Absolutely. I think, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, nothing. I just say I applaud you for taking it on.
Thank you. You know, I've certainly been through a lot of those same conversations with my family and friends and other people. I think one of the major difference or something that I've certainly felt in the Young Farmers Movement since I've been a part of it in the last few years is that rather than perhaps, you know, referencing a generation below what or before when a lot of our parents and friends and others kind of moved back to the land and tried to build a more sustainable vision for themselves, ended up dropping out from society, or that was part of their vision, was to sort of turn away from organized society and so forth. And I think one of the unique things that's happening right now is rather than dropping out, we're accepting the same values, but trying to plug ourselves back into the system in much more institutionally sustainable ways.
Yeah, it's like we're not only do we want to start farms from scratch, and like, you know, without cash, we also seem like we want to start a whole new set of nonprofits and institutions and schools and training facilities and mentorship. And it's amazing how much ambition we have to change the system. Considering that we're, like many of us, the children of Bush and Reagan generation, I'm just constantly amazed by our willingness to, like, get ourselves tangled up in bureaucracy for what we believe in. I think it's awesome.
Awesome and frustrating at the same time.
Well, if we're all frustrated together, it kind of makes it funny.
Yeah.
Man, I'm looking at the Madrone Bay. They're just going off this year.
Yeah, it's been a very vigorous season in all walks. You know, Northern California was in quite the drought for the last few years, and we had a very, very wet spring, which was made spring crops and the season very difficult on a lot of farmers, but at the same time was much needed and has just created a vigorous, lush season on the whole for Northern California, and that's been greatly appreciated and needed, certainly.
Well, hopefully this, you know, having a recession right here at the beginning of our professional lives and having to deal with what that means in the marketplace and also just the kind of new levels of anxiety, professional anxiety that we as a generation are facing. I feel like it's a little bit like a drought. Makes you toughen up.
Absolutely, and forces us to get creative and sort of buckle down and figure out what's most important as a society and as our generation moves forward. How do we want to stamp ourselves into history? And, you know, with every challenge, opportunity is provided. And I think that I certainly feel inspired by the Young Farmers Network and other, you know, young people sacrificing certain professional avenues that are more perhaps accepted in the mainstream culture to stand up for what they believe in and you know, and sweat it out in the fields or in however, you know, they may plug themselves into the activist world.
Yeah, it's awesome. And today, like today, when all the little green grasses are coming through the dried hillsides and there's bees buzzing around and the grapes are all hanging down and there's figs, it's like, why would I want to do anything else?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's nice to catch you on such a beautiful day, and I don't want to take much more of your time. Do you want to just call out, do you have a blog or web presence or a way that you, if people wanted to, you know more about what you've learned or get in touch about stuff that's going on the coast?
Totally. So generally in life, I've been quite new media savvy. However, with this project, our online presence is not incredibly strong. But I can be reached for questions or comments at samuel.carlin, K-A-R-L-I-N, at gmail.com. And soon we will have our website up at foggymoonfarm.com, which is going to be the new working name of the farm moving forward. Again, that's Foggy Moon Farm. We're biodynamic, and so, which is largely dependent on the lunar cycle, so that's where the moon comes from. And being on the coast, it's quite foggy here much of the year. So we call ourselves Foggy Moon Farm for now. And soon we'll have some photos and basic information up about what's going on here at foggymoonfarm.com.
Well, right on, Samuel. It's so nice to have met you and over at the Mixer, and I look forward to staying in touch in the bioregion and to seeing how things go with you, and just, you know, if there's any other way that Green Hunts can be useful, let us know, and if you learn stuff that you think will be useful to other greenhorns, let us know that, too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for all your work and organization, and
thank
definitely
you so much.
Look forward to super collaboration. Future collaboration.
Well, to a life shared together, working the same country.
Cheers.
Living in a good boy town. I got a good boy blue, and I'm still gonna dress a new. Now, me and Martha standing upstairs. We done been there all night, but the man didn't know we were there. But we were going out and coming in to and fro.